This morning I've asked Mike and Stephanie to light the Advent candles here as this fourth Sunday of Advent we celebrate the peace of the Christ child, the calmness, the stillness that he ushered in and he wants all of us to receive. And so if we would listen to the scripture as Mike reads and Stephanie lights the candle.
The first Sunday of Advent, we lit the first candle to remind us of our hope in God. The second Sunday of Advent, we lit the second candle to celebrate God's love for us. Last Sunday, we lit the third candle celebrating the joy of the Lord. Today, the fourth Sunday of Advent, we light the fourth candle to remind us of the peace of the Christ child. Listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness had seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light was dawned. You have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment robed in blood will be destined for burning, will be the fuel of the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Jesus, that there will be no end to your kingdom. And you truly are the Prince of Peace. You are the one who ushers in. And you even said, O Christ, that you leave us with peace, not as what the world gives, but you give us peace that comes from you. The inner peace, the peace of mind, the peace of heart, the peace of stability, the peace of solidity. And Jesus, we thank you that as we pause this morning, that we truly can receive your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. May you be blessed now through the rest of this service. As we continue to commune with you today, we thank you and we bless you in the holy name of the risen Christ, the coming Christ child, the one whom you sent as the Savior of the world, we pray. Amen. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. As we continue this time of praise and worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what the Lord has blessed us with.
We are so grateful, Heavenly Father, for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. We pray, Father, that you accept these gifts, these tithes, and these offerings that we've placed on your altar this morning. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're finalizing and concluding the series on the book of Hosea. We have been through quite a journey. We have started where the people of Israel rejected God and looked to other sources in the world to solidify them. In fact, even going so much to making pacts and treaties with Egypt for their national security. And we saw that God's heart was that he was constantly coming to them. And his heart was that he wants all people to return to him. We saw that several weeks ago. Last week we saw that the Christ child, Jesus, he comes to you and to me to redeem us. And as Hosea redeemed Gomer, his wife, for being unfaithful, so God will redeem you and me when we are unfaithful. But friends, this morning, I want us to hear the most important message that is of the heart of God this morning. And it's this, that God desires to restore you and me. He desires to restore us from all the bad choices that we've made, from all the waywardness where we've gone, from all the mistakes that we have found ourselves in. He desires to restore us, to bring us back. In the Hebrew, the word for peace, shalom, it really means to return back to the original created order that God created things to be. Now think about the Christ child, the babe in the manger, the one who there was no room for him when he entered into this world. He broke into the darkness. Throughout this whole journey, throughout this series, we saw that you and I, we were darkness. And that's exactly what God wants to do. He wants to break into your world. He wants to break into my world. He wants to break into your life and break into my life to bring that restoration. You see, God has a heart of restoration. And it's not just to restore things in any certain sort of fashion, but it's to restore things the way that he created them to be. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you'll see that the way that God created things to be, goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Now, we can't go back to the Garden of Eden because sin entered into the world in Genesis chapter 3. But what we can do is we can allow God in us, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus has come and he will be celebrated his birth this coming Friday. This coming Thursday, we will commemorate the eve of the birth of the Christ child. And Jesus didn't just stop there. He didn't just stop by breaking into the world. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to seal you for later redemption. I am going to put a stamp, put a mark on your life, on my life, by God himself. And it's if we allow God to work through us, that's when we experience the restoration. That's when we experience the peace of the Christ child. You and I, we have a choice. We can choose to allow God to usher in that peace in our lives, or we can choose to look to other avenues and other ways that we can seek to implement this restoration in our life. And we all do it, friends. We all seek to control things in our life, do we not? We all seek to grab a hold of things and say, this is going awry, and I'm going to do this, and I'll get here, and I'll get there. I get it. I've been there. I've walked that road. I've done it. I still battle that to this day. I still battle of trying to usurp the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. That's the human condition. And what God desperately wants from you and from me is exactly what the wise men did. When they came into that manger, they did what? They fell on their face. They bowed, presented them their gifts. A couple, 3 weeks ago, we presented the chains at the altar. We presented ourselves to Christ. We said, here we are, O God. We said, I am giving you myself. And this Christmas, if you truly want the restoration that only God can give to you, then what you need to do, what I need to do, is unashamedly, unhindered, absolutely give God yourself. He gave us the best gift. May we give him the most valuable gift that we can. And that's us. That's us. And I promise you, then you will begin to see the restoration of your priorities, the restoration of your time, the restoration of your peace of heart, the restoration of your relationships, the restoration of your finances. Because when we seek to honor God, everything changes. Everything in our world, the realities, it's not choosing to buy something or to do something based upon our own selfish wants and wills and our own selfishness. It's saying, I want to honor Christ in all aspects of my life. I want to honor God in every facet of my life, and he will restore everything for you. Now granted, when we sin, when we step out and be wayward, there are always consequences. And sometimes he cannot restore exactly the way it was. But I will tell you, you will have a confidence, you will have a peace, you will have an assurance that this world doesn't know. If you have your Bibles, we're going to find ourselves in Hosea chapter 14. This is the last of the 14 chapters in this book. And we're going to read all 9 verses in the 14th chapter here this morning. If you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page and 10. And so follow along as we read the 14th chapter of the book of Hosea. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made, for in you the fatherless find compassion. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree, his fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. Men will dwell again in his shade. He will flourish like the grain. He will blossom like a vine, and his fame will be like the wine from Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I am like a green pine tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. This morning, I want us to notice three things. The first is we need to notice the heart of God. And this is God again. Now, you'll notice with me that the Israelites, they had gone and they had made pacts and treaties with Egypt because the Assyrian kingdom was about to come down upon them and overtake the northern kingdom. And they were going to take them into captivity. And so Israel, in their own strength, in their own ability, in their own might, they sought to find protection with another country. And that country was Egypt. And they were seeking to control things. And God was seeking to get them to return to him and saying to them, turn away from your false idols. Turn away from you not being with me. And may you come back to me. And all the while that Hosea, the prophet in the northern kingdom, is doing this, Isaiah in the southern kingdom is prophesying about the Christ child, about Jesus will send the Christ child into this world. And so God, in his magnificent heart of love, and that's exactly what it is, friends. The scriptures say that God does not show love because God is love. God shows himself. And in himself, that is all-encompassing love, he says, I am going to take care of you. I want you to turn away from me. Now, we know from history that in 722, the Assyrians came in and they sacked the northern kingdom. And they took over Israel. And so the Israelites never learned. And so what we can do, the old cliche is, history will repeat itself unless we learn from it. What we can learn is this. We need to return. We need to return to God. But we need to know the heart of God. And we see this in verse 1. And we see God's plea, God's cry to Israel. And it says, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Now, some people say that Israel means that the Prince of God. I have done some studies and I have found that, and I've also found that it means one who contends with God. Okay, so you're in a relationship, you're in a covenant here, and the scriptures tell us that all of us are adopted as sons and daughters of God if we are in Christ. And this is what I want us to do. I want us to take this verse, and this is what I want all us to do, to hear the heart of God, to hear the heart of love for you and for me. Return, oh, and then put your name. Return, O Max, to the Lord your God. Return, oh, and then your name. Because friends, until we personalize the scriptures, until it hits home, until it hits our heart, it's not going to mean anything. And we will simply just buzz by it and we will run over it and it won't hit home. And there are all areas in all of our lives where we can look and we can say, whoa, this life or this area in my life is out of line. I can return to God in that area. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's in submission in some facet of life. And we can return. We can return. We can return. We will never need to stop returning until we go home and we are fully united with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Because the way of this world, it draws us away. It draws us and it pulls us from returning to God and submitting to God and allowing God to be the Lord of our life. We want Jesus to be our Savior, but sometimes we don't want Him to be the Lord. And you can have Jesus as your Savior and not have Him as your Lord of your life. And that's what I'm talking about here. And so God says to you and to me, His word is this. Return to me, to the Lord, O God, is what God's message is for you and for me today. And that's the first thing we've got to do. We have to act. And if you look at your bulletin, and this is the call of God, we have to acknowledge our wrongdoing. You know, we can't return to God and think that we're all okay. We can't return to God and think that we've done nothing wrong. Israel, they had to return to God accepting the indictment that God had levied against them. We have to accept where we are at in all aspects of our life, and we have to return. We've got to return, not just once, and this is not just a single moment in time. This is a daily activity that you and I, when we decide, when we get up and our feet hit the ground, we decide whether or not we're going to return to God or not. The sad reality is our culture, our world, we have Christmas and Easter. And many people, the influx, will come to God on Christmas, will come to God on Easter. But you know what? The other 363 days of the year, God's saying, return to me. Return to me. Return, 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 return. If we don't return, there's no restoration. If we don't return, there's God, He will be God, but He will not restore. Ask the Israelites. They ended up in captivity. Assyria came in and plundered them because they refused to return. The second thing that we can see is this, and this shows the heart of God as well. Hosea 14, 4 and 5 and 8. And it says, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely. For my anger. Now this is God talking. Israel. Now Israel is the one who has been so unfaithful to God. They have absolutely done crazy things and they've walked away from God. And yet God in His love and God in His mercy, He's constantly saying, hey, you, all you've got to do is return to me and this is what I'm going to do. Same message is for you and for me. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. I will answer him and care for him. Many times when we sin, we think that God's up there and He's totally ticked off at us and He's ready there standing with a big stick ready to club us because we've gotten out of line. Now think of that vision and think of that picture and think of how God felt in Israel. There's no punishment in that at all. There's nothing there. God is saying, I will heal them. I will love them freely. There's no merit. There is no length of love that I will not extend to them. And the reason is that His anger has turned away from them. And He will answer and care for them. Now, as verse 1, this is what I want us to do. I want you and me to put our names in this verse. I will heal Max's waywardness and love Max freely. For my anger has turned away from Max. I will be like the dew to Max. I will answer Max and care for Max. Read that in your mind. Let that sink in. And tell me that we don't have a wonderful Savior. Tell me that we don't have a wonderful God. Tell me that we don't have a God who yearns to extend His love and His mercy and His grace to you and to me. Tell me that, because I'm here to tell you, friends, the God that we know, the God that we serve, the God that we worship and we commemorate this Christmas season and we do every year is a God of love because He is love. He's a God of grace because He wants to extend that love to you and to me. He's a God of mercy because He does not take any any joy in allowing us to suffer, but he takes joy in what is righteous and joy in what is true. Now tell me, you can't see the heart of God. Because the heart of God is this, friends. The heart of God is one of love. It's one of mercy. It's one of forgiveness. It's one of kindness. It's one of joy. It's one of peace. And God wants you to know that today. And that's the first step of the restoration that God wants for you and for me. To restore our relationship with Him. To bring our hearts back to be right in front of God, the Almighty. To bring our hearts to a point of peace. That is the first step in restoration. You see, what's in my heart will be begetting other things in my life. If my heart is not at peace, then I'm going to sow all kinds of uncertainty. I'm going to sow and scatter all kinds of other things if my heart is not at peace. Jesus said it this way. He said, the overflow of the mouth, over the flow of the heart comes out the mouth. And so what's going on in your heart, friends, will come out in your life. And God's heart is this. He wants you. He wants me to experience the first step in restoration, to stop trying to control things, to stop looking to government agencies, to stop looking to guns. And yes, I did say guns for your security, because I'm here to tell you God is more secure and more stable than any firearm ever could be. And don't even tell me that it's not. I've looked down the barrel. I've been at gunpoint. I've had a guy pull the trigger and the gun didn't fire. Don't tell me that God isn't more secure than a Smith & Wesson. God has your best interest at hand. And He wants you to know it. He wants to begin to restore your life, and He wants to bring it back to the original way that He wants you and me to live. He doesn't want us to go all here and there and helter-skelter and all this other craziness. He wants you and I to be focused, to be secure, to be confident, to be at peace, so that we can show the world what it looks like to be in a restored relationship with the Christ child. That's the reason. The connection is this. Hosea 14, 2 and 3. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. See what they were doing? We'll take this in our own control. We'll take this and we will overcome. We will conquer. We will lean on Egypt. Oh, if Egypt doesn't come to our aid, then we'll mount war horses and we'll overcome Assyria. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. This is the connection, friends. We have to, not only when we acknowledge our wrongdoing, we have to confess the wrongs that we have done. And confession is an agreement with God. And when we begin to confess that we have done wrong, then the next step of restoration takes place. Because now the barrier that has separated you from a holy and righteous God is removed, because Christ comes into your life. And when we agree that we have faults and flaws and failures and all these other wonderful things that all humans have, then God meets us there. And He says this. But you cannot go to God and confess and still go to government agencies and still go to your Smith & Wesson guns and still go to all these other worldly things and say, hey, this is where my security is. You cannot. God is a jealous God, and He's jealous for you and for me, and He doesn't want to be in a competition with anything. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants you. That's why He sent Jesus. He sent the Christ child to break into the darkness of this world, to break into the darkness of your heart, to break into the darkness of this life, to break in to you for your benefit, for mine. We have all these choices every day. And this year, this time of the year, it gets worse. We have all these things competing for our time, for our attention, all these voices. I was speaking with someone just this past week, and I looked at them, and I said, well, we're into the Christmas push. And this person doesn't go to church, and they looked at me, and they said, yeah, you have no idea. And I could just see on their face how drained, how strained, how burdened they were, and what a sad cry and shame. There should be joy in the Lord. There should be happiness in God. There should be a peace in the Christ child that only comes from Him, because He says, hey, you can look for it and all you want in this world. You'll never find it, because it only comes from Jesus. It only comes from Christ. And His words to you and to me is that not once we acknowledge our wrongdoing and we confess, we agree with God that we have slipped up and we have gone awry, then we confess with Him and agree with Him, and now we have the first two steps of restoration. And those first two steps will change your entire world. And God says, Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made. For in you, the fatherless find compassion. Here again, we see the heart of God once again. Sometimes I think we live as if we are fatherless. We meander around through life and we think that, you know, we're almost like orphans out there. And God still in that, He says, hey, you will find compassion with me. All you have to do is acknowledge your wrongdoing, confess your faults, and come back, come back, come back, come back. That's what He wants. But don't let it stop. The last thing that we can see is that it's the call of God. I think here's the call. Keep going there, Casey. Here's the call. This is in verse 9 of Hosea 14. Now, this is a question that God wants us all to ask each and every day. He says, who is wise? He will realize these things. What will we realize? We'll realize that God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. That His heart isn't to punish. His heart is to bring us back to Him. That's the first thing that we'll realize. We'll realize that out of that motivation of love that God has for you and for me, He sent Jesus to this world. We'll realize that we have committed wrongdoing. We will realize these things. And that we will confess that wrongdoing before Him. And then we will realize that the restoration that God wants to bring to your life and to mine, that will make us wise. You see, this is a rhetorical question. He's not asking and saying, hey, who is wise? He's merely saying, if you are wise, you will realize this. We can live our life like a fool. And yes, I said fool. We can live our life in a foolish manner and we will get the same results. Or we can come to Christ and we can accept and acknowledge our wrongdoing and confess our faults and flaws, and we can acknowledge those things and we will receive what God has for us. And that's His peace. That's His restoration. That's His mercy. That's His grace. Then He asks another question, and He says, who is discerning? He will understand them. What will we understand? We'll understand that sometimes in God seeking to restore us in our lives, that things won't ever go back to the Garden of Eden, but they will go back to a better way, because your heart will be at peace, your mind will be clear, your mind will be focused, and your heart will be stable. And so all of those things in your life, they will begin to experience all of the benefits and the fruits that come from a clear, focused mind and a peaceful and stable heart. You see, here's the thing. The late Dr. Martin Luther King said it this way. He said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hatred cannot drive out hatred. Only love can do that. Here's what we have right before us this Christmas season. We have the answer to all of our heart problems, all of our relational problems, all of our financial problems, all of our control problems, all of our occupational problems, and the list could go on and on and on and on and on. But when we try to do things in our own strength, in our own ability, and we go wayward away from God, we are not at peace. We are seeking to be in control. And when we submit our acknowledgement of our waywardness and confess our faults and flaws to the risen Christ, the light child, the one who ushered into darkness so that you and I could be restored and brought back into a peaceful harmony, a right relationship with the righteous and holy God. Only then, friends, only then will the chaos and only then will the chaotic nature of this world begin to be driven out of our life, and we will have a peace, you will have a serenity, you will have a tranquility, a calmness that only comes from the Christ child. And it will filter out to your relationships, to your families, to all those people that you come across, all those people that you talk to, every aspect that you do and you encounter. When you go to work, it won't be just going to work. It will take on new meaning. When you drive down Madison Avenue, it won't be just driving down Madison Avenue. You will have a spring in your step. You will have a joy in your heart. You will have a tranquil mind. You will have a focus that you've never had. But we can choose not to allow the Christ child to remove those unhealthy elements out of our life. We can choose to keep on keeping on and doing the things the way we've been doing. And the old cliche, keep doing what you've been doing and you'll get the same results. Or we can be like the wise men. When they were in the manger, they fell on their face. And I'm not just saying one day or two times a year. Fall on your face before God. Give Him the best gift you can ever give Him, and that, my friends, is your heart. And do it daily. And allow the light of the world, Jesus Christ, to drive out of your heart, out of your mind, to allow Him to remove those unhealthy, unsettling, unpeaceful things in your life. Because, friends, the living Lord, the one who came to earth to die, Jesus, the Savior of the world, wants to restore your life and mine. He doesn't want us to just have long in the face and just to meander through life. No. He's saying, hey, the joy, the love, the hope, the goodness, this is why He came. So may we let the Christ child transform and restore us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. We thank You for Your heart of love. And Jesus, when we look at Hosea 14, we pray that we would see ourselves in that verse. And we ask You, O Christ, to give us the courage, to give us the discipline and the diligence to return to You when we are wayward, to confess our sins and to be thankful to You for the restoration of our lives. And so, Father, we commit this time into Your care. May we truly accept it. May we truly receive it. May we truly apply it each and every day. Not just this time of year because it's Christmas, but may it be the other 364 days of the year that You find us faithful, falling on our face, offering the best gift that You want, and that's ourselves to You. And may You restore our life unto what You originally wanted for us. We thank You and we bless You. In the holy name of the Christ child, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.